You may be seated. Some interesting facts to start you out this morning. The average tongue is 3 inches long. It is not the strongest muscle in the body. That was news to me. There are 8 different muscles that make up the tongue, and they twist together. Your tongue has between 3,000 and 10,000 taste buds, not visible to the human eye. And obviously the 5 types of taste buds are sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and savory. The average lifespan of a taste bud is 2 weeks. Your tongue never stops working even while asleep. Can you believe that? Your tongue is the most flexible muscle in your body. Your tongue requires moisture to taste. Your tongue shapes sound into words. And this is the coolest one that I found about the tongue. Your tongue print is as unique as your fingerprint. Pretty cool, huh? Isn't it amazing how God created our bodies with all these amazing body parts? But that's the topic of the day, the tongue. That's why I have it small but powerful. James chapter 3, and as we're moving along, as I mentioned during the confession and absolution in this James 1:22 sermon series, James chapter 3, James is talking about the gift of the tongue that God has given us and the ways we can use it in a good way and ways that we misuse our tongue. And so let's talk about this. First of all, as I mentioned, the tongue is a gift of God, and there's no question about it. The text today is all about these tongues that God has created us and how we use them. And something about the tongue also, you know, helps us form words. Have you ever tried to talk without your tongue before?
And you can't really, like, any thought.
It would be impossible. But once we say something and the words come out, can we get those words back? We can't shove them back into our mouths. Once they're out, they're out. And the words that we use, the way that we talk, is so important that God made 2 commandments involving our mouths. The second commandment, which is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Don't misuse God's name. Don't swear by his name. Don't curse by his name. Don't make fun of his name. And then the 8th commandment, does anybody know it? Very good, I heard it. You shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, don't lie. And so it was that important to God that he had 2 commandments involving this. So let me start out by reading the first chunk here of James chapter 3. I have it up on the screen for you to follow along. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." So really what James is getting at here is the positive power of our tongue. And so we don't have to come up with any clever illustrations here. James gives us really good illustrations to use here. And the first one he uses is the bits inside of a horse mouth. Does anybody know what that is? It's the things, you know, they put in the horse's mouth and it's attached to the rein and they can direct the horse. So with these little things that they put in the horse's mouth, they can direct these giant animals to where the person wants them to go. So it is with our tongue. Our tongue can guide our whole body. The way we talk, the way we use our words, can guide our whole life and our whole body. And then the other illustration that James gives is a ship. A ship in the sea or lake is moved by a small rudder in comparison to the ship. This small member part of the ship guides the big ship. And so he gives us these two illustrations to show us the power of this small member of our body. Our tongue is indeed very powerful because of the way it can guide and direct our words and our lives. And so now let's move on. In verse 5, the second half of verse 5 on, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Woo! For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. James turns it around really quick and starts talking about the evils that our tongues can do, the damages that our tongues can do. And then the note on your sermon notes, the tongue can cause all kinds of problems. True or false? That's obviously true. He starts out, he gives us another good illustration here at the very beginning of this, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the first thing that always jumps to my mind when I read this verse is what's the one thing that we seem to struggle with in our world today that involves our tongues? Starts with G. Gossip. Gossiping. You think about, and this always reminds me, you remember that telephone game that you would play as a kid and you'd sit in a circle or in a long line and the first person would say something into the ear of the next one and then you'd go all the way down. Was it ever the same at the very end as what it started? No. And that's exactly the same thing that happens with gossip. A rumor starts. And then who doesn't like a good, juicy piece of gossip, right? Well, it's very dangerous. It's just like a spark can set a forest ablaze, so our tongue can set a forest ablaze. You know, there were these three friends that would go out fishing every Friday, and they were in their boat one Friday, not catching anything, much like the disciples at first weren't catching anything in their net. And they were getting bored, and so they were good friends. They'd been doing this for years, known each other for decades, went to school together. And they decided, you know, to pass the time, let's confess to each other our deepest, darkest sin. And they're like, okay. And the first guy goes, you know, every Friday night, or every Monday night, I tell my wife that I have to work late, but really what I'm doing is I'm going to the bar and hanging out with my buddies. And they're like, oh, okay. And the second guy goes, okay, well, that's not bad. Here's my deepest, darkest sin. I've been embezzling thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars from my company for years. And they're like, oh, wow, that's a big one. And the third guy goes, you know, I really struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get home. But gossip is definitely a dangerous thing in our world, in our society, in our town, in Fort Wayne. It can even happen here at Promise. And James said, our tongue is full of deadly poison. And you know, we've even multiplied now here in the year 2022. It's been this way for years. The dangers of our tongue, the chaos that our tongues can cause, we've multiplied it now by the use of our fingers. You know, when you think of all the social media things, with the Facebook, Twitter, texting, Snapchat, TikTok, you name it, whatever. We can hurt people, gossip, do things on social media, which is just an extension of our tongues. Cyberbullying is a thing. You can make fun of other kids in school without ever having to say it to their face, and it can get out quicker too. In fact, it's caused so much problems that some of those kids have been driven to suicide because of the bullying. How great a fire can be started by just a spark. It's just so much easier nowadays to just spread this stuff and use our tongues in negative ways. Let me read on here. After James gives us all this bad stuff about our tongues, he continues. With it, our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You see, James has given us a bunch of other good illustrations here. If we look at nature, salt water, fresh water. Fresh water can't give forth salt water. Salt water can't bring forth fresh water. A fig tree can't bear olives, obviously, and a grapevine can't produce figs. What James is telling us here is, how can we, with our tongues, do this? Two different things. Praise God, curse our neighbor. The note I have on your sheets is, we can't walk the talk, which is the message that's on our sign right now, when we speak out of both sides of our mouth. And this is a tough one. You know, in the passage that I read to you during Confession and Absolution, this where the Pharisees got mad because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, which was a law that they had made, that you had to wash your hands. And Jesus said what he did. He said this right before the things that I read to you. He calls them hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said... Now, this is so cool. Jesus is doing Bible O&E right here. You know, the Bible is one narrative of events. He's quoting Isaiah the prophet on what he prophesied about these people. And listen to what it says. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. You see, when we are in church here worshiping God, that is good. Praising God, talking about, it's easy to do it here. When we get out into the world in our daily lives, Monday through Saturday, are we speaking out of the other side of our mouth as well? It's something to think about. Are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth? I think we can all be guilty of this. You know, 2 weeks ago, I've had the pleasure of doing the Bible study with the mom group. You know, I'm not sure what God's been trying to tell me. You know, I have a house full of women, and then I go spend an evening with all women. Everywhere I go, there's women. But that's okay. That's a good thing. But one thing I was talking to them about, a cool thing I like to do is no matter what passage you're reading in the Bible, is to see how it's connected to the crimson thread. How the crimson thread connects this to the rest of the Bible. And I like to do the same thing with this right here. And let me read to you a passage. We're talking about the tongue and the dangers that our tongue can do, the harm our tongues can cause in our lives, in our families, in our society. It doesn't seem like Jesus is anywhere around here in this passage. We praise Jesus with our mouths on Sundays, but then during the week we curse our neighbor. Let me read to you this verse. And in fact, 2 weeks ago when I did the sermon on James chapter 2, I read some verses from this chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You see, Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, the Savior. Even in the face of death and the accusations they were making against Jesus, that none of them were true, Jesus kept his mouth shut. And why would he do that? Even in the face of death. Well, the reason he kept his mouth shut was because we can't. You know, when we look at James chapter 3 and we see all these ways that we definitely use our tongues in a negative way, we realize how short we fall. And we know that the wages of sin is death. But Jesus, on our behalf, bridled his tongue. He kept his mouth quiet because what he was doing was to save us from our sins, even in the face of death. I wanted to close with these words from 1 Peter. Peter, one of the main disciples, the one that spoke out a lot of times, used his tongue in negative ways, spoke before he thought, said these words as he was doing his ministry after Jesus had died and rose again and then ascended into heaven. He said these words in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I have them up on the screen to follow along. And he says this, "For to this you have been called, promise, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." And we heard these words 2 weeks ago as well. "By his wounds, you have been healed." And this last verse that I didn't put up there, but I really like, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls." And that is what is so amazing about our Christian faith and being a Christian. We have a God who loved us so much, who is our shepherd, who takes care of us, even to the point where he died for us. And we thank him for that, don't we? It's all about that. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the amazing gift of love that you showed us by sending Jesus, who lived that perfect life, who kept his mouth quiet in the even in the face of death, just because that's what he was here to do, to die for us. And we thank you for that gift. Father, forgive us for the times that we do misuse our tongue and talk out of both sides of our mouth. Forgive us. Give us the strength to not do that. To let only good things come forth from our mouths. We pray that you continue to be with us here at Promise. We pray for your continued guidance and direction in all that we do, and we pray that you help us always keep you as the focal point of everything we do at Promise. And Father, we bring before you all those that are on our prayer cross and on our prayer chain. We pray for them. We bring them before you. We don't always know everything that's going on, but you do. And we pray that you be with them and bring healing, bring comfort. We pray that you be with our country and continue to watch over our leaders, and we pray that they seek you for guidance and direction. And Father, we now pray the prayer of the shepherd who loves us so much, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.